live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the Attorney General has been asked to look at legal issues around getting companies to contribute to the MICA redress scheme. It's expected the final bill will be well in excess of 1.5 billion euro. The Housing Minister still hasn't ruled out a 100% MICA redress scheme. As thousands gathered on the streets of Dublin yesterday, representatives of the MICA Action Group and other campaigners met with Minister Dara O'Brien. The National Public Health Emergency Team has spent today defending its stance on antigen testing, and employers need more guidance on asking workers their vaccination status. That's according to ISMI. Later in the bulletin, at around 5:15, Oisin is here with all the sports news. But we begin with the confirmation this evening that the Attorney General has now been asked to look at legal issues around getting companies to contribute to the MICA scheme. It's expected the final bill for the redress scheme, however it ends up, will be in excess of 1.5 billion euro. Housing Minister Dara O'Brien says the firms that supplied defective blocks should help pay for it.
This happened with pyrite in the infill as well, where the pyrite remediation scheme on the East Coast, where both the, not just those who actually supplied it, but the bond insurers and others walked away. So we've actually asked the Attorney General to look at options here. I think there is a major issue around accountability.
The Housing Minister hasn't ruled out a 100% MICA redress scheme. As thousands gathered on the streets of Dublin yesterday, representatives of the MICA Action Group and fellow campaigners met with Minister Dara O'Brien. 6 weeks has been given as a deadline for the Minister to work together with a special working group and affected homeowners to discuss issues relating to the current 90-10 scheme. Well, Michael Doherty, PRO of the MICA Action Group, says Minister O'Brien did make it clear that nothing was off the table.
In their thousands and multiples of thousands, we had Donegal and Mayo and other affected counties come to voice their concerns over what we have been really living with for a decade now in Donegal. Yesterday was a very, very strong message to Dublin that we've had enough. It needs to be wrapped up, and it needs to be wrapped up now.
And indeed, your meeting with the Housing Minister was somewhat positive.
It was positive, and we'll always look and take the positives from it. But, you know, we're not naive enough to think that it's all going to be a walkover. We are aware that we've got 6 weeks of very heavy negotiations ahead here now. What's good is that it's time-bounded, 31st of July. And I think the big significant step yesterday over and above having a timeline around this was that nothing was off the table. And I put it directly to him in Leinster House when we did meet, you know, regards 100% redress. Are you going to exclude 100% redress from our meeting? Because if that was the case, there'll be no meeting. And he said, nothing's off the table. I was trying to get him to use the words 100% redress was what we were going to be after and him to sign up to that, but he wasn't prepared to do that there and then. But what he did come back to say on several occasions, and then I think on prime time last night, that 100% was not off the table. I am a bit cautious in that I saw last night on prime time again that he talked about, well, at least a real 90% and so on. That just means that they're not there properly in their own head, despite the motion it was put forward by Sinn Féin, and it was passed, and Fianna Fáil government, put it this way, they haven't come along forwarding an amendment to that. So we are taking that as an acceptance of what the people have asked for from yesterday's meeting, and that they've known about for a long time. 100% redress is what we're after, and we're not coming back with anything less.
And that was Michael Doherty speaking there to Michaela Clark. The British government is set to extend the grace period over aspects of the Brexit deal in relation to Northern Ireland. The Belfast Telegraph is reporting this evening that the EU will be asked this week ahead of the resumption of the marching season in the north. It's feared tension over the operation of the protocol in relation to Northern Ireland could have repercussions in the coming weeks. 143 people have tested positive for COVID-19 in Northern Ireland over the past 24 hours. There have been no additional COVID-related deaths. 16 patients being treated in hospital for COVID in Northern Ireland today, with no patients in ICU with the virus. Well, the National Public Health Emergency Team has spent the day defending its stance on antigen testing. Members were before the Oireachtas Transport Committee to outline why the rapid tests have not been endorsed for international travel. Casey Reardon reports on what was a sometimes heated discussion.
Combative, I don't think it's needed to be.
Combative, adversarial manner.
And I'd agree with you about the combative nature of this.
The intense nature of the meeting did not go unnoticed by both sides of the discussion, committee members having been told just last week by a Harvard medical professor that antigen testing is more effective than PCR for international travel, demanded answers from NPHET. Virologist Dr. Killian de Gascoigne refuted the claims.
Unfortunately, the evidence isn't there to back that up, Chair, again, with respect, it's opinion.
Immunologist Professor Mary Kogan explained there are no studies validating the use of antigen testing for aviation.
In order to do a validation study in a sector, the sector has to be functioning.
Yeah.
We can't do a validation while international travel is shut down.
Deputy Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ronan Glynn says NPHET is always willing to review its position.
Scientific evidence, or indeed real world utility of these tests in a real world setting, whether it's aviation or any other setting, we will obviously promote the use of that test.
NPHET pointed out that come July 19th, the issue will be less relevant as vaccinated people will not be required to have tests to travel.
Well, employers need more guidance on asking workers their vaccination status. That's according to ISME. The group says bosses working in close contact with customers, such as hairdressers in shops, should know if their staff have received the jab. The chief executive of the Irish Small and Medium Enterprises, Neil MacDonald, however, said employers can be left in an awkward position.
Employer, unfortunately, has been left high and dry on this. They're, on the one hand, they're at risk from the HSA or a complaint going into the workplace surveillance unit in Kilkenny if they don't act on this. On the other hand, they're dealing with the possibility that if they do attempt to intervene on this area, that a worker complaint could go into the Workplace Relations Commission.
Transport Minister Hildegard Nocton says she hopes air routes previously run under a public service order by Stobart Air will be operational again within 5 weeks. Responding to last night's topical issues motion in the Dáil moved by a number of TDs, including Donegal Deputies Piers Doherty and Thomas Pringle, Minister Nocton said potential replacement airlines will be approached within days. Deputy Doherty stressed the importance of restoring the Donegal-Dublin service as quickly as possible.
Can this be shortened in any way? Minister Ryan was saying that the process would begin next week. You're saying in the next number of days. And I want to just re-emphasise that every single day counts. This could mean a number of patients being able to travel to Dublin for their cancer treatment instead of actually having to make that 9-hour trip.
I can assure you, Deputy, that that will be happening as fast as possible. And this week, the department will be writing directly to airlines. And I would be hopeful that by the time we open up international travel on the 19th of July, that we would have those routes in place.
The Taoiseach says the legal advice to the government is that extending a blanket rent freeze would lead to challenges in court. Protections from eviction and rent increases have been extended to December for those in financial difficulty from COVID. Sinn Féin has called for a blanket ban on increases across the board. However, Taoiseach Micheál Martin says legally that's not an approach open to the government.
The very strong advice to the minister has been that a blanket freeze and or ban on rent increases of any would be of any duration would be the subject of a legal challenge, will almost certainly deter continued investment in the rental accommodation market.
Five sites in Donegal are to share almost €189,000 in funding under the Community Monuments Fund. The bulk of the money, almost €77,000, goes to the Old Church and Graveyard in Kilmacrennan, with money also being allocated to St Catherine's Church and Graveyard in Killybegs, Mallon Well Church, Doon Fort and O'Doherty's Keep in Buncrana. The Agriculture and Marine Minister, Charlie McConnellogue, says the funding for the Old Church in Kilmacrennan is particularly welcome. That's a point that's been echoed by local councillor John O'Donnell.
I'm absolutely delighted for the whole committee that's been working very hard in trying to obtain funding to make the structure safer and also to open up the graveyard, hopefully, please God, so people can visit their loved ones as well, which was something that was really close to my heart in the past when the graveyard was closed and people weren't able to access it.
How quickly would you like to see that work done, and when realistically do you think we could perhaps expect to see the work done that would allow that reopening take place?
Yeah, look, I'll be confident that the money will be drawn down and spent before the end of the year, and the reopening will happen before the end of the year. I suppose it's a big thing at the minute because it was the seat of education of Colum Kill, and this is the 1500th anniversary as well. It's been celebrated, so everything's fallen into place nicely. And again, as I said, it's a good news story for Kilmacrenna and for the committee and everybody that's been involved, because it's been ongoing for a long number of years. So to get this money today and to hear this good news story, it's very, very welcome, and I look forward to the money being spent.
Indeed, last week, in a response to Councillor McBride to a question raised by him, the council said their hope would be that they would get substantial work done by Colm Kyll's birthday in December, and it would now appear with this money available to be drawn down that that goal becomes ever more achievable.
Yeah, exactly right. Look, at the end of the day, I think that the ball's in the council's court now to get the work done. Before this, we couldn't do nothing without the funding, so I'm delighted that the funds been allocated.
And that was Councillor John O'Donnell. Garton National School in Churchill has been approved for tender stage for a new mainstream classroom. Minister Charlie McConlogue said this evening that's great news for the school and for the staff, led by Principal Joanne Gilday. He praised parents, students and the whole community, saying today's announcement is a testament to the hard work and dedication of all involved. Gardaí have issued a reminder that driving lessons cannot be given in the Republic to holders of provisional licences from Northern Ireland. In a social media post this afternoon, Gardaí say members of the Buncrana Roads Policing Unit were on patrol yesterday when they came across a driving lesson in progress. The learner driver was the holder of a provisional licence issued north of the border. Gardaí say Northern Irish provisional driving licences or learner permits from the Republic are only valid for use within the jurisdiction in which they were issued. The Taoiseach has defended the timing of a speech in which he said Irish unification could happen in his lifetime. Leo Varadkar's address to his party's online Ardesh has been questioned in a week where tensions are high in the north as parties try to re-establish the Stormont executive. Sean Defoe's special report begins with Leo Varadkar's comments last night.
I believe in the unification of our island, and I believe it can happen in my lifetime. It means the unification of the people of our island, as well as the territory of Ireland.
Taoiseach Leo Varadkar addressing the Fine Gael Ardesh last night. He said Fine Gael plans to set up a branch in Northern Ireland and discussed in detail the plans that will be needed in order to make a border poll happen. This morning, Labour leader Alan Kelly was among those to question the timing of the speech.
Strange timing, given where we are at the moment as regards tensions in the north, particularly as we all know the next 4 or 5 weeks are always very tense.
But Varadkar doesn't believe his remarks will have an impact on events this week in Northern Ireland.
If they're unable to put together an executive in the next week, it'll be because of relations between the parties in Northern Ireland, not for anything external in my view.
The speech set out ideas about a united Ireland that Varadkar has expressed in public before, but may yet inflame tensions in the north due to their timing.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15. We say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Yeah, thanks, Donal. The second game of today's action at the European Championships is underway, with Gareth Bale and company of Wales taking on Turkey. And there are about 17 minutes or so played in that game at the moment in Baku, and it is currently scoreless 0-0. Earlier, Russia threw up the cat among the pigeons in Group B. A goal in first half injury time was enough to see them beat Finland 1-0 at St. Petersburg. Russia, Finland and Belgium all have 3 points, with Belgium, of course, playing Denmark tomorrow. One other game tonight as well, Italy plays Switzerland. That one kicks off at 8 o'clock. Scotland midfielder John McGinn believes there's no need to fear England ahead of Friday's encounter at Wembley. The Aston Villa man is one of a number of Premier League regulars in Steve Clarke's side. McGinn says that should give them the confidence they need to get a positive result.
We compete against the majority of these guys week in, week out, and we seem to hold our own, so it's about passing that message on to the guys maybe that are based in Scotland or elsewhere that we can more than compete.
Shamrock Rovers will play Swiss side Young Boys should they see off Slaven Bratislava in the first qualifying round of the Champions League. If Bohemians beat Starnen in the Conference League, they will face Dulong of Luxembourg next. Sligo Rovers will play Rosenborg if they come through their opening match against Hafnarfjarðar. And if Dundalk can beat Newton, they'll take on either Levita Tallinn of Estonia or St. Joseph's from Gibraltar. And Celtic will face Dutch side, FC Midtjylland, in the second round of the qualifying for the Champions League competition. Celtic will play the first leg at home on July the 20th or 21st. The Danes were runners-up in their domestic league. Champions Manchester City will go to Tottenham Hotspur on the opening weekend of the new Premier League season. Among the other fixtures, Manchester United will host rivals Leeds United at Old Trafford, and Liverpool will be away to newly promoted Norwich City, while Champions League winners Chelsea will be at home to Crystal Palace. The first day of the new season is designated for Saturday, August 14th. The first Liverpool versus Man City game is penciled in for Anfield on October 2nd, while Manchester United will host Liverpool at Old Trafford on October 23rd. All the games, of course, are scheduled to change dates due to TV schedules. Andy Moran says Killian O'Connor will be a huge loss to Mayo's championship campaign. The corner forward requires surgery after sustaining an Achilles tendon injury in Sunday's league game with Clare. Mayo begin the Connacht Championship in 10 days' time against Sligo. Former forward with the Mayo County, Andy Moran says O'Connor's absence will be keenly felt by James Horan's side.
Yeah, I was hoping it was his calf, if I'm being honest with you. When I seen him go down, I was hoping it wasn't his Achilles. But yeah, fingers crossed, he's a hardy boy, but he's definitely the most important player. He leads the attack, he pushes our press.
In racing, the Aidan O'Brien trained Love won the Prince of Wales Stake, the feature race on day two of Royal Ascot today. The 11-10 favourite won by 3/4 off a length. Donegal jockey Dylan Brown McMonagall will be in action later at Ascot. He will ride 10-1 shot, so I told you, in the 6:10 race for trainer Joseph O'Brien. Dylan has taken the horse to victory in his last two outings. On the rugby front, uncapped Ulster centre James Hume has been added to the Ireland squad for next month's test with Japan and the United States. He replaces Gary Ringrose, who requires a procedure on a shoulder injury. Hume's addition brings the number of Ulster players in Andy Farrell's 37-man squad to 12. And next season's Heineken Champions Cup will be played across 9 weekends. Teams will play 4 pool matches, with 2 in December and 2 in January. The round of 16 will be a 2-leg format in April, with a final again penciled in for Marseille on May 28th of next year. That's your sport for today. We'll be back with more tomorrow morning, Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. A public consultation has been launched on the draft Ballymafaith Tráthnóna Regeneration Strategy. The draft outlines an ambitious vision to identify key priorities and actions for the regeneration of the Twin Towns up to 2040 and beyond. With more, here's Daniel Brennan.
People are being invited to have their say on the future of Ballymafaith and Tráthnóna's town centres. Donegal County Council, in collaboration with BASICC, have opened a public consultation to hear the views of the community on the draft Ballymafaith Tráthnóna Regeneration Strategy. Carlock of Lifford Tráthnóna Municipal District Councillor Jerry Crawford says the strategy builds upon the recent announcement of funding of €9.7 million from the Rural Regeneration and Development Fund to deliver the seed project in the commercial core of the towns. The draft translates the challenges, opportunities and ideas put forward by the public during previous consultations into ambitious, exciting and visionary projects. The public consultation is open until Tuesday, July 13th. More details are available on donegalcoco.ie.
Currently, a warning of new automated scam phone calls that have been reported in Donegal, as well as Monaghan, Dublin and Kilkenny. With more details, here's Anya McGlinchey.
Gardaí are warning of new automated scam phone calls that have been reported in Donegal, as well as counties Monaghan, Dublin and Kilkenny. The scam involves an automatic call claiming the victim is under investigation by An Gardaí Síochána in relation to suspicious activity relating to their PPS number. The victim is then asked to press a number in order to speak to a scammer in order to resolve the issue. Gardaí say that the scams are mainly originating from numbers with the 087 prefix. The Gardaí advise anyone who receives one of these calls not to engage with the caller, not to return their call, not to follow the automated instructions such as pressing a number, to never disclose any of their personal or financial information over the phone, and to hang up and block the number of the scammer. Gardaí say that while the scammers may change their stories and methods, their objective is all the same, to access your personal and financial information. If you think you have fallen victim to this or any other scam, Gardaí advise you to contact your bank and report the incident to your local Gardaí.
A West Tyrone MLA says the DUP and Sinn Féin need to put the interests of the people first and not risk bringing down the Assembly. Daniel McCrossan was speaking after it emerged that the numbers of people entering into emergency accommodation in the Derry City and Strabane district more than doubled over the past 2 years. Mr McCrossan says Minister Deirdre Hargey and the rest of the executive need to address what is a very serious housing crisis in Northern Ireland rather than issuing ultimatums about language acts and other issues.
Over the course of the last 24 months, we have seen a twofold increase in the level of people in need of emergency accommodation. The original number in Derry and Strabane was 642. It's now up to 1,250. But the figures across Northern Ireland are much more stark. Between 2019 and 2021, there was an increase of 115% in just over 1 year. So that's an increase of over 5,000 new applications for emergency accommodation. We often talk about the housing crisis in the south of this island, but there's absolutely a very serious housing issue here in the north. And what's more worrying is that when we should be dealing with this issue, we have a fight, a sham fight between the DUP and Sinn Féin over Irish language.
And indeed, that does beg the question, what's going to happen over the course of the next number of days? Because as we know, Arlene Foster is gone. Paul Given is set to take over as First Minister if that agreement can be reached. Some concerns that perhaps next week we won't have an executive, and where will we be then?
They've had this fight before, and as a result, the Assembly was collapsed for 3 years. In those 3 years, health waiting lists spiralled out of control beyond all recognition. Also, we have 280 children without a school place this year. And further to that, again, we have this issue around housing. You know, Sinn Féin and the DUP need to get their priorities right. They need to put the interests of people first and put their own selfish agendas aside. Bringing down the executive will achieve nothing. And if Sinn Féin believe it will achieve anything, they're fools, because the Tory government will do nothing for the nationalist population here in Northern Ireland. And over a 3 year period, that has become very, very clear.
And that was West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan. Some news just in: the Department of Health has reported 329 new cases of COVID-19 this evening. The number of people in hospital being treated for COVID is now 57 in the Republic, 19 people in intensive care. That's down 4 from yesterday. North of the border, the Department of Health has reported a further 143 COVID-19 cases with no further COVID-related deaths. 16 patients in hospital, none of them in ICU in Northern Ireland. Local authorities may soon be using drones to monitor litter black spots. New legislation is to be drafted to tackle the issue of illegal dumping. With more, here's Niall Colbert.
Yesterday, Cabinet Ministers approved the general scheme of the Circular Economy Bill. This included plans to allow local authorities to use CCTV and other tech to monitor illegal dumping black spots. It's hoped the likes of drones would deter people from dumping their waste in the likes of forests, bogs and mountainous areas and other beauty spots. Labour Senator Mark Wall says the issue is costing local authorities millions of euro each year to clean up.
The costs mentioned in their own bill are close to 90 million per year throughout our 31 local authorities, which weren't contested by the government at the particular time. And some counties are spending up to 3 million.
The government insists that any tech that may be used must be compliant with data protection laws. But Liam Herrick from the Irish Council for Civil Liberties has raised some concerns.
There are significant dangers here about surveillance, invasion of privacy. More generally, I think there is a legitimate concern in society about the increasing use of surveillance tools. Now, this use is clearly a reasonable and legitimate use, but we need to make sure it's not going to be used for other purposes.
The government is to draft the new legislation first, with the hopes that the new laws would clamp down on illegal littering and dumping.
Looking at the weather forecast for this evening and into tomorrow, Madeira tell us to expect a mix of cloudy periods and some bright spells with the chance of an isolated shower or two. Mostly moderate southwesterly winds this evening. Tonight will be mostly dry with good clear spells developing, just a few light showers. Lowest overnight temperatures 5 to 7 degrees Celsius in light southwesterly breezes. Some mist patches developing as well. Tomorrow we can expect a mix of sunny spells and scattered showers. Highest temperatures on Thursday 14 to 17 degrees Celsius in a mostly light west to northwest breeze. Main stories in brief, and the Attorney General has been asked to look at legal issues around getting companies to contribute to paying for MICA redress. It's expected the final bill for MICA, which has seen thousands of homes, most of them in Donegal, suffer structural defects, could be in the region of 1.5 billion euro. The Housing Minister says the firms which supplied the defective blocks should help pay for the scheme. And Minister Darragh O'Brien hasn't ruled out a 100% MICA redress scheme. Campaigners from Donegal who protested yesterday say they will be pushing to ensure that's what happens. The British government, it's reported, is set to extend the grace period over aspects of the Brexit deal in relation to Northern Ireland. And the National Public Health Emergency Team has spent the day defending its stance on antigen testing. Members were before the Oireachtas Transport Committee. We're back with news again at 6. Good evening.
The obituary notices for Wednesday, June the 16th. The death has taken place of Billy McGonigal, 64 Ernie Road, Strabane. Funeral, leaving his home tomorrow morning at 11:20 a.m. for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Marie Curie, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam.